The reading from today is taken from James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26, which is on page 978 of the Church Bibles. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, great to see you all. And let's keep that passage open. Let's pray as we start. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and active, that it pierces to our hearts. And we pray that you would speak to us. Father, please take my weak and fallible words, but would you speak with your words through them into all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so we are in James still. But the big thing that's on our mind is not James, right? The big thing that's on our mind is this virus. Everyone is worried. Kids have to stay at school for 4 weeks. Everywhere you go, people have masks. And if you don't have a mask, people will stay away from you. And flight cancellations. I have friends who are stuck in different countries because they can't go back. It's the big thing on everyone's mind. And I guess that's understandable, right? Because it's potentially fatal. You know, 2% of people who got the virus in China have died, and people don't want to die. And so people, yeah, it's serious, right? Normally, it's this time of year, you get some fever. What do? Well, it's probably just flu. Get some paracetamol, stay in bed. My guess is if you get some fever now and a dry cough, you don't do that, right? You go out and you go to the doctor and you ask, can you check what's wrong? I mean, can you imagine not knowing about this virus, right? You just think you have some flu and you go to the doctor. Can I have a sick prescription? I've got the flu. The doctor looks at you and investigates, and actually, you have this deadly virus. Well, today is a little bit like that. It's a little bit like going to the doctor, having a diagnosis. That is what James is doing. He is diagnosing a potentially fatal disease. Now, James is writing to Christians, and they were scattered around Judea and Samaria, and they were struggling with life, and they found it a bit hard, and they were not responding well. They were responding in a rather sinful way. And we saw that actually, we were here last week. They were they had a lot of favoritism in the church. They favored the rich. They discriminated against the poor. And James is saying, guys, as believers, you shouldn't do this. It's a sin. But today continues the same passage. No, he sees their behavior and it's so bad that he says, well, actually, I'm worried about your faith. I'm worried with some of you about your faith. Because that's what this passage is about, right? Verse 14, look again. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? You know, guys, some of you claim to have faith, but I don't see it. I don't see any deeds. I don't see any action. Well, is that faith that saves? Is that the real kind of faith that saves? And it is serious, right? It's about being saved. This is people, they come to church, and they claim to believe. But James says, well, I'm not sure if you have saving faith. I hope we want to listen, right? If we're concerned about deadly diseases. I hope if you're not a Christian, you will listen. I guess it's less addressed to you, but it's still, you know, this is something people say about Christians sometimes, right? I don't see it. Christians seem hypocrites. They say one thing, but they do another. I don't see that it's real. It's a common objection. I hope today we'll speak to you. We'll speak to all of us. So, but that's the thing, isn't it? Faith, real faith, what does that look like? And as James goes on to explain, well, real faith is seen. Real faith, it shows itself. It is seen in actions. And he gives this example, such a simple example, right? Verse 15, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but has nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? You know, here is someone and they get a visit from someone, you know, a brother or sister, like someone in your small group. And we're not even talking about, you know, should you help a poor beggar or not? Is giving money the right thing? That's not it, right? It's just someone in your small group, someone close to you, someone from church, and, you know, they are lacking clothes, they're lacking food. And what does this person say? Well, go in peace. Probably something pious. Eh? Go in shalom. I hope you have shalom. That sounds very holy. But, yeah, keep warm and well fed. I mean, he notices it, right? He can see, I can see you're cold. I can see you're hungry. Right? He notices it. It's not like some of us. I mean, I'm the kind of person, I'm blinkered. If I have one thing on my mind, I just don't notice it. But this person notices. He can see, okay, I can see you're hungry, I can see you're cold. Well, I hope someone will help you. I'll pray for you. Doesn't do anything. And James says, well, what good is that? You know, what kind of faith is that? If you don't help your brother or sister who's like this, well, what good is that? Can such faith save? Huh? I mean, it's. I hope you agree that this is ridiculous, right? But James says, well, that's terrible, you know. And that is what some of you are doing. You know, your favoritism, your conflicts. You know, is that a kind of faith? I mean, he's very negative, right? This kind of faith, it can't save. Verse 17, you know, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. He calls this kind of faith dead. Or verse 20, it's useless. Useless, dead faith that can't save if you are like this. I'm concerned about you guys, he says, about some of you. And then he says, well, what you need to understand is that faith and deeds, they go together, they're connected. I mean, that's kind of the objection he gets in verse 18. But some of you will say, you know, you have faith, I have deeds. There are two different gifts. I have faith, you have deeds, and they're separate. And James wants to say, no, they're connected. Faith and deeds go together. After all, show me your faith without deeds. I'll show you my faith by my deeds. They're connected. It's like symptoms and a virus, right? The virus shows itself in symptoms. If you have the virus, you are going to get symptoms. And from the symptoms, you can see whether you have the virus. That's the whole point with the 2 weeks quarantine, right? Well, why does people have to stay at home for 2 weeks after they come back from China? Well, to see if they get symptoms. I can't see the virus. The virus is invisible. But if you get symptoms, you'll have the virus, right? They go together. And in a way, deeds, actions, is the symptoms of faith. Someone has faith, you'll see that in actions, James says. Yeah? You can see that I have faith from my actions. And if I don't see actions from you, well, I can't see your faith. And then he gives these three examples. Look, let me give you a few examples. First, a negative one. Someone with just faith. Well, look at the demons. Verse 19, you believe that there's one God. Good. You know, great. You believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Well, even the demons believe that and shudder. You know, here are people, persons, they have faith. They have a right theology, but they're not saved, right? They they don't believe in that sense. There's no salvation. No, look at someone like Abraham. Abraham, great example, right? Our ancestor Abraham, he was, well, the man of faith. That's what we always say. Abraham, the man of faith. How did we see that faith, James says? How did you see that he had faith? Well, 21, wasn't he considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? God gave him this incredible command. He had been waiting for 25 years for God to fulfill his promise of a child, and then this child grew up. You know, the child that God had promised, through him, I'm going to bless the world. And then God said, okay, now go and offer him as a burnt offering. Go sacrifice him. Incredible. But the thing is, Abraham obeyed. He took his son, and he took the firewood, and he took the, well, I don't know, no matches, but you know what I mean. And he went to the mountain, and he had faith. And Isaac asked him, Dad, okay, we've got the fire, etc. Where's the ram? The Lord will provide, my son. He had faith, and he obeyed. And, you know, just when he almost was ready to put down the knife, God stopped him and says, now I can see that you fear God. Now I can see it. He always had faith, but now it's visible. You can see it. His faith is visible. Again, it's about his faith, right? It says his faith was working together with his actions. His faith was made complete by what he did. It's not that he had faith and actions. No, his faith was seen in his actions. And his faith was made complete. It was perfected. It was matured, fulfilled. His faith was fulfilled in his actions. And it was real. You could see it. Or a Rahab, another good example. In verse 25, in the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? I mean, a prostitute, right? Jesus is for everyone. If you're here, Jesus, this is not about being good enough, right? But a prostitute was welcome, but she had faith. She had come to know that, you know, Yahweh God is the real God. I need to turn to him. And then these spies came to her house. What did she do? Did she just say, well, I hope you don't get caught. I wish you well. No, she hid the spies. And when the soldiers came to her door, she sent them around. She sent them away another way. And she tied this red rope to her window so that when the Israel came, they wouldn't destroy her. She took risks. She stepped out, right? I'm going to change sides. I'm going to do something scary, visible, but I trust God. Her faith was seen. Again, actions. Faith is seen in actions. Real faith is seen. And yeah, of course, God doesn't need to know. God doesn't need to see it in some way. He knows. But real faith, he says, it's seen. And in real action, something costly. I mean, James's readers, they came to church. They came to church. And there they discriminated against the poor. But they came to church. And they read their Bibles. They had a good theology. But there was no practical love for each other. There was no costly sacrificial things like Abraham. There was no risk. There was no stepping out and being different from the world like Rahab. It wasn't there. And James says, well, what good is that? You know, the world needs this. Yeah? Faith needs to be seen. I mean, that's God's plan. God's plan is that faith is seen. How will the world see that Jesus is real? Because he's changed us. Because, you know, how will the world know we're Jesus' disciples if we love one another? God wants us to change. And yeah, I can imagine if people see Christians and they're not changed, they're the same as the world, and they say, well, Christianity doesn't seem real. Maybe you're a teenager, and yeah, you know, children, they often, what turns them away from their faith is when their parents just don't believe, right? They say they believe, but there's nothing real in their lives, and you kind of think, it's not real, right? God wants us to be real. It's not, and after all, it's not just philosophy. Right? Faith is when God comes into your life, when Jesus comes into your heart. And, well, is he home? Are the lights sometimes on? That's basically what he's saying. Real faith is seen. I hope we see that. Although at the same time, when I say that, people are worried, right? Because people think, well, you know, isn't it once saved, always saved? Isn't it that when you believe, then you have eternal life and no one can take it away and it doesn't matter what you do? Isn't that true? I mean, I know that's a concern, right? So I need to address, when I say this, the Bible's one voice. Actually, the Bible is consistent. Because many people think, well, James is just weird. That's very different from, say, the Apostle Paul. Paul, he emphasizes how we're saved by faith, without what we do. And James seems to say the opposite. I don't know if you've heard that. Many people you speak to, they will say, well, look, you can't trust the Bible because of this contradiction. Maybe it's a problem for you. Let me address this. I mean, let me just take two verses that people... Here is James. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. And then here's a verse from Romans. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. It doesn't sound exactly contradictory, but look at it in the ESV. So James, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Paul, we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. Now that seems contradictory, right? It seems one says, you know, it's works, and the other says, no, it's faith. Yeah? Deeds and not just faith alone. The other says, no, faith alone apart from works. Is this a contradiction? Well, the question is, how do people use these words? Because sometimes a word, people use it in a different way. And it's not people don't mean the same thing. So for example, a week ago, I read this the past week, mornings would be cool in Hong Kong, especially in the new territories. So every morning I went out and I was expecting to see all these exciting things, and it was actually pretty boring. No one on the street, just a few people with masks. It wasn't cool at all. I think you know what I mean, right? Cool. It was the weather forecast, and the weather forecast said it's cold in Hong Kong, especially in the new territories. But the word cool has two meanings, right? And you can't just go by one verse. The question is, you need to read the whole thing, the context. Well, what is the context? Because I hope we've seen what, say, James says. What does James mean when he says faith alone? He just talks about an intellectual understanding, right? Knowing the right doctrines. That is faith for him. And works is a changed life. It's when that faith kind of changes your life and it works itself out in love. And being justified is not a theological word. It's just being seen as right, seen as righteous. And that's how it works, the word justified. You know, at home, something's broken, I think I can fix it, and my wife thinks I can't, and so I try to fix it, and I can't. And then she is justified, right? We can see that she's right. Seen as righteous. But Paul isn't writing to those people. Paul he's got in mind people from a Jewish background who say, well, look, I'm accepted by God because of my law keeping, because of I'm faithful to God, and that's why I'm accepted. No. Then he says, well, here's a good verse from just a few verses on in Romans. This is what Paul thinks. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. He talks about works as an obligation, something you earn. You earn salvation, right? But the one who doesn't work but trusts God. Faith is about not doing good deeds, but trusting God, trusting him for salvation. And justifying, well, God justifies the ungodly. It's not... It's not being seen as righteous, they're ungodly. It's declaring. It's when God says, I accept you, even though, despite all your sin. But so they're completely different, right? This is not faith as intellectual understanding, it's faith as trusting in Jesus alone. works is not a changed life, it's trying to earn your salvation through your good deeds. They mean something different with works. They mean something different with faith. They mean something different with justified. So it's not a contradiction. They just use the words in different ways. I mean, what does would Paul say? You come to the surgery. Dr. James is off today. Dr. Paul will see you. Would Dr. Paul have a different diagnosis? Well, no. Here's Paul in Galatians, another book about faith and works. Well, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Paul wants faith to express itself in love. And if it doesn't, verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, etc. Last lines, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If your life is full of sin, you're not going to be saved. Something's wrong. Paul would say the same thing. And ultimately, they both go back to Jesus. I mean, Jesus says both things, right? He talks about the Pharisee and the tax collector. He talks about the Pharisee who boasts, oh God, thank you that I'm so good and I'm not like all these bad people and I tithe and I fast, I'm such a good person. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. That's the gospel, right? Just you trust in Jesus, you throw yourself on God's mercy, and you're accepted. And that's wonderful news. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, that's the amazing news, that we can be accepted by God, because we could never be accepted on our own, right? We could never be good enough. Jesus died for us. That's wonderful. But Jesus also said, well, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And some people say, well, yeah, that was written to Jews. He spoke to Jews. Well, Revelation, he speaks to the church in Sardis. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Your deeds, it's not complete. I hope you can see it, right? The Bible speaks with one voice. We're saved by grace. We're saved by the wonderful work of Jesus. Just by faith. But how is that faith seen? That faith is seen in a changed life. That is, I think, what the Bible says. And Paul would agree, James would agree, that's what Jesus says. I hope that's clear, right? So if you have any questions about this, come and talk to me. There's only one service, I don't need to rush to the second service. Plenty of time to talk. Let's talk about this if you struggle. But, you know, this is what God wants. And it should, right? Again, God is alive. God has made you his child. He's given you his spirit. If you're a Christian, something wonderful has happened to you. You're born again. It should be seen. Right? God is impatient. You know, he wants to change you, and he doesn't want to wait until you get to heaven. He wants to do it now. That's why he comes and lives in you, and he changes you, and he's making you into a beautiful person. He should be doing that. And if that's not happening, then do you have faith? Is God in your life? And so, what's the application? I guess we should examine ourselves, right? Let's examine ourselves. That's what James would say. Now, Dr. James isn't here, but the Holy Spirit is. So let's take time. Look at yourself, look at your life. Is our faith alive? Can we see deeds? Not just going to church, not just reading your Bible. Is God really changing you? Let's take as an example, brothers and sisters who are poor. Have you, in the past year, have you given anything to poor brothers and sisters? Sometimes we have an appeal here, maybe a sister from the PF. You know, her husband died, she needs to go back to the Philippines, doesn't have money. we have an appeal. Have we responded to that? Just to say, we're often a very loving church. You know, a few months ago, there was this typhoon, and Dunkallen Church had real trouble, and there was an appeal, and, you know, a lot of people gave. Wonderful. But, you know, not everyone. Can you see any of this in your life? We have mission partners that we support. Many of them, you hear it in the prayers, they pray for provision. Are we helping them? Yeah. We, of course, as a church, we give to mission 15% of our income, but they need much more. Those kind of things. If you hear such an appeal, what's your response? Does it leave you cold? Or is there actually, yeah, I should? And is that then, does it translate into action? That's the thing, isn't it? Or do you just hear it and then you walk away and you forget, like we saw in chapter 1, forget the mirror. Let's examine ourselves. But as I say that, I know that sounds very, you know, there's a few responses to that. First of all, don't judge others, right? We're not here to go and, okay, I think you, there's something wrong with your faith. You know, Jesus talks a lot about the log in your own eye. Let's do that first. You know, also, Jesus is not talking about perfection. You know, there's people with a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. We all still struggle with sin. Jesus doesn't want, this is not about perfection. It's just, you know, is your faith alive? You know, one person can run 3 marathons. Someone else is in a wheelchair. They're both alive. It's just, are you alive or dead? Do you have a pulse? Just a pulse, just something. Right? Don't take this as, you know, is my life, does it measure up to this standards? No, is there something that shows I'm alive? And again, some of us are more sensitive than others. You see that again with sickness. Some people, one cough and they think, oh, I'm dying. They're just very sensitive. And I know some wonderful Christians and they're wonderful, godly people. And yet, they there's so much sin in my life. And they wonder about their faith, even though I'd say I wish the whole church was filled with people like you. If that's you, you know, be realistic, you know. Don't, and if that's your friend, encourage them. At the same time, I know others, and there's no fruit, and there's lots of sin in their life that they don't care about, that they're not repenting of at all, and they say, yeah, I fear God, and I don't believe it. And so, I mean, be honest with yourself, but, you know, use what the Bible says. But, you know, I'm sure most of us are fine. It's just, James says, for some of you, I'm concerned. But then what should we do if that's you? Well, first of all, don't just start doing good things that you think, okay, I should do more. That's our response, right? We hear this and we think, oh, I should do more. You get your checkbook out. Okay, so how much should I give to make it right? But then you've missed the point. Because what James says, the deeds, they come from faith. If you're just changing the deeds, you're changing the symptoms, but not the problem. Maybe you read that story in the news about this woman from Wuhan, and she went to France, and you know she wanted to get through the security, so she took this medicine to make her fever go down. And so she looked healthy. Of course, was she healthy? No. She still had the virus. She was still sick. She treated the symptoms, but not the disease. And if we just, okay, let me try and do more, then you're treating the symptoms. You're not treating the problem. The problem is faith. Is Jesus alive? Is Jesus alive in your heart? That is the problem. And if you're here and you're a visitor, you're not a Christian, again, don't hear this and think, oh, what should I do? No, doing comes out of faith. It starts with faith. So, yeah, let's come back to our faith, right? That's what we need to do. We need to come back to Jesus. Now, James will have more to say about that. And James is not finished yet. You come to chapter 4. He talks about mourning and returning to God and submitting to him. And chapter 5, he talks about asking others to pray for you and asking for help and those kind of things. James will address this in more detail. For today, let's come back to Jesus. How does he start this section, verse 1? Believers in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Mustn't show favoritism. You have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus. If you see Jesus, doesn't that change you? If you see his compassion, his love, his perfect life, if you see how he came down from heaven and laid aside all his glory for you, if you see how he went to the cross, knowing all the sins you've committed and all the sins you will ever commit, and still died for them. If you see how he hung on the cross and he was so tempted to go down, but he didn't, because he loves you so much. And he rose from the dead and he saved you and he came into your heart and he's with you now. Doesn't that move you? Doesn't that touch you? That's the thing, is faith comes from seeing Jesus. And if we our faith is struggling, then maybe we should spend more time looking at Jesus. I've been convicted of that. I've been reading some book by John Piper, and it's very convicting. Yeah, where do we find pleasure? Where do we find satisfaction? I've got 5 minutes. What am I going to look at? Jesus or Facebook? And it's often Facebook that wins, right? It's much more exciting. I've missed something. Jesus should be the most wonderful, satisfying thing. And as we see him, as we look at him, and really fight and really try, I hope that something will change. Something will change in our faith. So let's come back to Jesus. Where do we find him in the Bible? Don't hear this, look at yourself, but don't start doing things. If there's a problem, come back to Jesus. Come back to the gospel. Come back to his grace, his mercy. And that will then change us, hopefully, and flow out into deeds. Right? Let's pray about that. Let's do that. Why don't we turn to prayer? As the music team comes up. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his love, his grace. Thank you that he is so wonderful. Thank you that he's changed us. Father, for each of us, would we see where we're at, but if we are struggling, would we come back to him? Would we spend time with Jesus, see his grace, and would that change us, Father? Please, would each of us be alive because of our relationship with him. In Jesus' name, amen.